We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Tuesday to you. And it is a Tuesday, July 30, football, can you hear me? Edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports kicking off on 1037 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. For the next 2 hours, we'll be football heavy, not quite football exclusive, as we lead you up to Major League Baseball. Naturally, Stros at the Indians. 6:10 first pitch will dump you off into the very capable hands of Steve Sparks, Robert Ford, at straight up 6 o'clock for Astro Launch. Between now and then, we're going to launch into a whole lot of football conversation, professional football first. And that means Saints here in South Louisiana. Houdat Nation continues to, I think, marvel over what this team's accomplished the last two regular seasons, and then for portions of the last two playoff runs. And then some of that marveling turns into something I probably can't say on radio, with the way that it's ended 2 years ago in Minneapolis, last season in the Dome. And as Yvette Girard told us Friday, yeah, it was really, really quiet after being at a fever pitch for the majority of that ballgame against the Rams. And so now, okay, you've gone through the summer. Here we are, July, ready to flip the calendar page over to August. It is training camp. And Sean Payton recently recapped yesterday's fifth day of training camp. I want you to hear some from the head coach of the Saints, and then we've got one on offense, one on defense, a couple of members of the starting unit for the Saints, going to tell you how training camp's been going so far. But here is a bit of a recap from Payton on day five.
Thought it was good. It was third down for the first time. So, we went through quite a bit of the third down, situational down a distance. Again, I thought they handled it pretty well. We'll look at the film and try to get on the corrections here.
More from Payton, including bringing back a former LSU Tiger. And in some ways, good on Draven Durrell, but in some ways, poor Draven Durrell. The former Brobridge Tiger continues to get some run this time of year because he's a local product and because nobody, basically outside of Will Clapp, gets absorbed by the Saints from LSU. Everybody always focuses in on Durrell. I feel like this is a soundbite CD that could be played on loop every year. Let's see if it sounds any different in 2019 than 18. Here's Sean Payton on bringing back Durrell.
Well, look, he's familiar with what we're doing. We were down numbers-wise. He's been training. And we felt when we released him, there was a good chance there would be a day like today where we were going to be able to bring him back. And so, fortunately, we were able to.
I'll interpret that for you. We're tired of Cam Meredith's bleep. He's always injured. We got rid of Cam. There's room for Draven Durrell. There. That's how I interpret Sean Payton. More from the Saints head coach here. And this, to me, is very interesting. Everybody is focusing on the new guy, right? The receiver at Saints camp that continues to get a lot of buzz because of the way he's been tearing up, you know, the Saints cornerbacks, even Marshawn Lattimore. And CD, we've been hearing a lot about him too. Help me out here. Emmanuel
Butler.
There it is. And while he's somebody who is generating the buzz, Keith Kirkwood actually has experience doing this. And Sean Payton here makes a very interesting comparison. Kirkwood to Marcus Colston.
Yeah, I mean, relative to, I would say, number one, he's got good size. He's smart. He's very smart. And I would say he's consistent. You know what you're going to get. And I think Marcus had some of those traits.
Incredible. If Keith Kirkwood can come into his own as a third or fourth wideout option, and you know you've already got Thomas, a healthy Ginn has a role that's solidified, a young Traquan Smith still coming along. If Kirkwood's your fourth wideout and you tackle on Jared Cook, Wow. They've got a lot of things they could do with that offense. And speaking of Jared Cook, it's the time of year where Peyton freely admits it's like a kid in the candy shop. They get to do different things with new toys and new players like Cook.
But how do you kind of
I think it's both. I think you're expanding always, and you're looking at things that fit what you're doing. The way it's called, your terminology, your system stays intact. So, you know, he's learning that and has picked that up well. I think it's a little bit of both.
We'll move on from Peyton. Let's hit a lick or two from Ryan Ramczyk and Von Bell. First, the Saints offensive lineman who suddenly got a bit of a veteran edge about him. And now he's looking after some of the young pups, including new center Eric McCoy.
I think he's a smart player. You know, he picked up the playbook really well. And, you know, obviously, rookie year, you got a lot of pressure on you. You're going to have mistakes. You're going to have screw-ups. But I think he's been dealing with it well and being able to move on to the next play.
Let's get one more from Ryan Ramczyk. Letting you hear from the Saints five-plus days now into training camp. And here is Ramczyk. Nice open-ended question. What's the hardest part, Ryan, about playing in the NFL?
You know, it really depends. Some run blocks are harder than some pass protection, so it depends what the play is, what the protection is, how many guys you got protecting. So there's a lot of different scenarios, but I don't think I could pick one with, you know, to say which one is harder or easier. So.
It's all hard, especially when you're in Sean Payton's system. That O-line has to do an awful lot. We'll go to the defensive side, and we've got some sound here from Von Bell, Saints DB. He says that the game slowed down for him a lot in 2018.
The game slowed down. Just awareness, just football IQ went up, and just breaking down the game. That's what really helped. Being with AG, just watching film, being with Dub back there, and everybody out there is just the same group, so it just made the game just slow down for each other.
More from Bell, the former Buckeye. This time, we got to hear Sean Payton talk about Jared Cook trying some new things out with him. Here's Von Bell on what it's like playing against former Oakland Raiders tight end, now a New Orleans Saint, in Cook.
Been great, man. We've been making each other better. He's one of the best in the league. He can run. He's physical at the top of the route, in the route. He stems well. He runs well. And he's just making each other better, just challenging each other every day, just pushing each other to that bar, to that limit. And that's what we need every day. And I'm glad to go against him every day.
Wanted to give you a feel of what the Saints are saying as they continue to sweat their tuchuses off over in Metairie off of Airline Drive. On the other side of this opening break, we're going to stay with the NFL, but we're going to broaden your horizons a little bit. Hell, we'll broaden ours as well. The deal is this. It would surprise no one, and I mean nobody nationwide, if the Saints were again amongst the league's elite. When we return, I'm going to ask for some of your surprise NFL picks this year. I went back, ran the tape, Clint shaking his head, but hey, tape don't lie. I was pretty good at some of my surprise picks from last year. So I'm going to put myself on the line again. I'm going to allow you to do the exact same thing with our sink or swim question of the day. And then our two guests today, Mike Boyer at 4:30, Turling's Catholic principal, and a guy that authored a lot of proposals that are now approved legislation with the LHSAA. But what we want to talk about, the LSA, and what comes next for the select side of things and high school athletics in general in our great state. So Mike Boyer coming at you at 4:30. And at 5:05, Shea Dixon, go247.com. Our guy escaped the Bermuda Triangle to come back and do this interview. And so we have a lot of recruiting nuggets to get to, not just Jaquel and Roy, but as we know, yesterday, Landon Watson became the first LSU commit for the football class of 2021. That and a local product from here in our Acadiana area had a really cool honor today and an all-star game invite. Shea's going to tell you all about it at 5:05. So Mike Boyer, Shea Dixon, and on the other side of this break, a whole lot of you. As for us, Ben Love, alongside the famous Clint D, we'll be right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
High school football, UL, LSU, We're all thinking about it. We're all talking about it. And, yeah, we'll do some of that on this show as well. But right now, we're into the NFL, at least for the next segment. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Don't forget, about 15 minutes from right now, Mike Boyer will join us to talk the newly formed, organized, and ratified LSA. What comes next for your favorite high school teams and your favorite high school sports in the state of Louisiana. But, Clint, before any of that, I know you were excited about this. A lot of times I'll feed you our sink or swim question. What? You can tell the people the truth. Maybe about like 9 or 10 a.m. you'll get the email from me?
Yes, it's about 9, 10 a.m. Usually not long after I wake up, I usually see these.
I can feel the eye roll from you sometimes when you don't like the question and you don't think there's a lot of meat on the bone. I got like an immediate response.
Like all the eye emojis were showing.
Yeah, I got like the 2 minutes later email response. Oh, this is a good one. I got some thoughts. So hopefully, YP, you people out there in listener land feel the same way about it. Let's get to the music and then we'll get to the question. Exciting and new. Your Sink or Swim question of the day. Who is the surprise team in the NFL this season? Give us your pick to click. I'm not going to put any parameters on it. Just a surprise team. And, of course, why? Let us know. 706-0111. Clint, you know I try not to do this all the time, right? I bash myself on the show quite a bit when I'm wrong. It happens a few times a week. This time, I think I got it right. It was almost this exact time last year that we had this type of discussion. And I gave one from both sides of the aisle. I gave you the Bears in the NFC, the Colts in the AFC. So, yeah, I would say that went pretty well for me. The Bears last year, incredible. Won the NFC North, got into the playoffs first time in a little while. The Colts, a resurgent year under a resurgent player. Andrew Luck was back and healthy. So knock on wood, I'll give you some more of that type of gold for 2019. And again, I'll go one in the NFC, one in the AFC. Give me the 49ers in the NFC. First off, they'll be better than 4-12. I think that the jury's still out in how John Lynch will thrive, or maybe he doesn't as a GM. But it's very clear that Jimmy G, healthy, is going to make this team better. You saw the potential, I think, when he was with the Patriots. You saw what he did, winning like 5 out of 6 games down the stretch 2 years back when he was traded over to San Francisco. I think with the healthy Jimmy G, Jerick McKinnon, a former Viking, if he's back and healthy in the backfield, I'm not telling you that the 49ers will be 9-7, 10-6, but they were 4-12 this year. It's not out of the realm to consider that they might double down on their wins this year. So give me the 49ers as a bit of a surprise team. I feel like this one's a little bit of low-hanging fruit. Sometimes that we're just a year early, Clint. You know what I'm talking about on picking a team? And then sometimes you get teams that just do every other year. It's like the San Francisco Giants in baseball. I mean, they did that for like 4 straight years. It was win a World Series, not make the playoffs. Win a World, you know, that whole thing.
Yep.
The Jacksonville Jaguars, after taking the Pats to the brink 2 years back in the AFC title game, we all figured it was the year. We just forgot about Blake Bortles and how bad he could be. And Leonard Fournette, kind of how disruptive he became as a bit of a team force there for a while. They had some injury issues. They didn't gel. They went 5-11. Like the 49ers, the Jags will be better than their record. Like my prediction with the 49ers, I think they could double up on their wins, maybe even a little bit better. We all know that they've got a new quarterback now. What can they do with Nick Foles at the helm? And can this suddenly be a team that gets back to where we thought that they would be last year? Could they be an AFC title game contender like 2 years ago? So those are my two for you. 49ers in the NFC, Jags in the AFC. Clint, we're going to take yours, but we've got about 5 or 6 minutes in this segment. We'd love to take some of our listener suggestions. 706-0111.
I'm going to take it the same way that you did, Ben. First off, that San Francisco 49ers pick is a solid one, and I'm really jealous that you took that one from me.
That's why I went first.
Yeah, exactly. But the AFC, I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns. It's low-hanging fruit, yes, but you have to about imagine that team's going to wind up upsetting the apple cart a lot in the AFC South. It's definitely AFC North. I think that's going to be a team to kind of keep an eye on going forward to see what they do. They can make a playoff run, but of course you got the Pittsburgh Steelers and a young upstart Baltimore Ravens now that Lamar Jackson is in full control.
Doesn't, you know, that division looks different now, doesn't it?
It really does. And, you know, it's just the fact that you have two very young dual-threat quarterbacks and both these guys bring different things to the table. I think the AFC North is going to be a lot more entertaining with Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield being the poster boys for the for pretty long-term future.
I presume that the Browns are going to be everyone's favorite to win the AFC North. They were, correct me if I'm wrong, 7-9 last year?
Yeah, 7-9-1.
No, that's not.
Wait, 7-8-1.
That math's
sorry.
Not going to work. We'll go with 7-8-1.
Yeah, they had that tie in week one against the Steelers. Almost tied again
in
week two.
That's right. If not for Zane Gonzalez,
yes.
That's true. So, yeah, I think there's a great possibility for that team to rattle off between 9 and maybe 11 wins this regular season, get back into the playoffs. The AFC North, the problem there is I think it's going to be a one-bid division.
Okay.
So I don't think that you're going to get a wild card team out of the AFC North. I think there are strong enough teams outside of that, mainly as I'm looking at the AFC West, where I think all of us expect, kind of like last year, Kansas City,
yep,
the Chargers. I mean, those were 12-plus win teams in the regular season. They're not going anywhere. The Broncos, I will wait and see. But my gut tells me the other wild card teams comes from the AFC South, where the Texans, pretty good team. The Colts, I just told you, double-digit win team last year. They've got Andrew Luck back. And then those Jaguars I just selected. If the Browns are going to do it and get to the playoffs, they're going to have to win the AFC North outright. At least that's my take. So we got a few more moments if you would like to weigh in. Surprise teams in the NFL. I really could go the other direction with this, too, if I wanted. Maybe we'll save that for a day closer to Labor Day, right? Surprise teams going the opposite way. I don't think the Saints are going to be amongst them. Something tells me the Saints remain one of the upper crust in the league this year. I don't think the Pats are going anywhere, but I can see a few teams taking a step back. In fact, you know what? I'll just go ahead and tease that right now. Tell me if I'm crazy. Kansas City can't be as good this year as they were last year. Can't be. Pat Mahomes can't be like a video game every time out. I know they've got the Honey Badger up there now roaming with Eric Berry. Kansas City can't be that good again this year.
I think the biggest thing that's going to hold it back is that defense. You talked about it, Tyrann Mathieu. You're going to have Eric Berry there as well. That's been the biggest bugaboo for him. Obviously, we saw that in the Rams game, Monday Night Football, where they were putting up, I think, 100 points both sides. I feel like that's going to be the biggest thing that's going to hinder them going forward. I don't think you're crazy, but weird things have happened. I feel like, you know, Pat Mahomes is going to have to pretty much put the team on his back, like we've seen maybe Drew Brees circa 2014 to 2016.
And that's not a fun job on a year-in, year-out basis. So that's why I think Brees goes home and does hallelujahs every night that they built the defense that they have, that the running game the last few years, especially with Mark Ingram alongside Alvin Kamara, has been what it is now. So it's going to start to weigh on Mahomes. He's young enough to handle it for a while. I just don't think they're, you know, as elite this year. They're still a playoff team. But, oh, by the way, Tyreek Hill was carted out of practice today. So forget about his off-the-field issues. Tyreek Hill, we'll figure out soon just how healthy he will be, as we haven't even gotten close to the first preseason week yet in terms of getting ready for that opening game. Just something to monitor. But I'll call my shot on that a little bit closer to the regular season. A quick LSU football note before we hit our second break of the program. There's a new number one on the roster. Shout out to our guy, Shea Dixon. He'll join us at 5:05. He was first to notice it on Twitter that I could tell. Kelvin Joseph has entered the transfer portal, and now suddenly Christian Fulton, former Rummel Raider. We know that his path toward the playing field was pretty bumpy, right? Trials and tribulations, the NC2A wouldn't let him play. Pretty dicey story that's been put out there by Ross Dellinger. Kid tried to fake a piss test, right? Thought it was for one thing, it was for something different, and they said, no, we just want to know if you're taking steroids. Well, that's not good. So they sat him down for a few years. Now Kelvin Joseph is out, Christian Fulton is in, and he's going to be wearing number one next year. So there is a new number one, and it will be Christian Fulton at cornerback. Still waiting on that number 18, though. Most people suspect it'll be Joe Burrow. Haven't seen that awarded just yet. With LSU camp starting early next week, you could bet that's coming sooner than later. All right, let me tell you about what's coming soon for us. When B2BS returns, Mike Boyer here live inside the 237 Roof Studios. So don't you go anywhere. High school sports fans, this is what you've been waiting for. You're listening to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 103.7 The Game.
Hey, not one voice made for radio, but two during this segment. We're going to double down. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, the famous Clint D, and for the next, 10, 20 minutes, maybe an hour, depends on how long we want to have fun here, joined in the 237 Roof Studios by Mike Boyer, principal at Turnleys Catholic High School, and a busy man always, but especially with everything that's been going on. Mike, how are you today?
Oh, yeah, I'm fantastic, and it is quite an honor to be with an award-winning broadcaster, by the way.
Well, I appreciate it. You know I do, and thanks for everything that the Rebels have done to support this program over the years. And look, we're a big proponent. I'll back that up. I am a big proponent of, I think, what you have been bringing to the forefront. I see the vision, but I want you to help explain to me exactly where we are, maybe within the vision. And yesterday's forming of the Louisiana Select Association, what exactly does that mean?
Well, it means a lot for the 108 select schools that are in the state. You know, just a little background. You know, we split several years ago. 2 years ago, the principal of E.D. White, Michelle Chasson, put up a proposal that was passed that said the select schools could be in control of their playoffs and their divisions. That was awesome. This past year, I put up four proposals, basically that the select schools would opt out of playing in the LHSA championship events, Superdome Classic, the Top 28s, boys and girls, the baseball and the softball, and that the host, the number one seed or the best seed left in the bracket would be the host school. And with that in mind, you know, they could play at home or they could find the best neutral venue that's available in their geographical area.
As long as it's sanctioned by the LHSA?
That not even actually had to be sanctioned. You know, my poster child on this was for the last 2 years, Notre Dame, Catholic New Iberia, has played each other for the state championship. 30 minutes apart, yet they've traveled to New Orleans to play in the Superdome. They've been well-traveled with their fans. But how many more of their fans would make the trip to Cajun Field if that was available? How much walk-up traffic would there be in Lafayette? Because there's a state championship event in Lafayette again. Been a while since we had basketball. Last football state championship was 1979. Nish and St. Aug.
Wow.
And so, you know,
And unlike the Cajun Dome, with basketball coming in waves of, I guess at the time, five classifications, these are just two teams, two fan bases, which, oh, by the way, at least one of them is guaranteed to be local. So you're not having to worry about some of the rigmarole with the hotels, the vendors and everything. It's just a good deal. There's no real taking anything off the table.
Well, I mean, that's what I thought. I thought a win-win was to guarantee a host, you know, and that fan base. And, you know, obviously you're always it's about the geographics of the two competing teams, you know. South Plaquemine and Homer Plain, it's tough to travel all the way across the state. So with that in mind, we've come up with an idea based on the fact that now we're speaking for ourselves for the first time about our own business within the LHSA. So we have ratified a professional organization, the Louisiana Select Association. That was ratified yesterday. Like I said, 71 teams came. Our schools were represented, and 66 voted yes. There was four abstentions and one no.
And that's, as you told me in the break, that's 71 out of the possible 108 select schools.
Out of the 108, you know. We contacted by phone yesterday several of them that weren't there, and they said, oh, yeah, we want to join, And then the next part was we want to waive our right to host, which was huge. So after the it became ratified, and now it is a professional organization, not unlike the Athletic Directors Association, the Louisiana Coaches Association, the football coaches, the basketball coaches, you know, all an appendage of the LHSAA. You know, we just joined that, you know, and we're still under the umbrella of the LHSAA, but we have formed a committee and a group that's looking out for the best interests of the select schools, not all of which are private. You know, there are lab schools and there are magnet schools and there are charter schools in that 108 schools. And with that, the next thing was, okay, I passed, you know, I put up and it passed the host team. Well, we asked everyone, would they give up their right to host if they were the best seed left in lieu of for these this group to get championship sites?
And a unified site.
Well, championship sites.
Yes.
Now,
okay.
You know, we would like, you know, I mean, everybody's used to what has always happened. Since 1982, you've been in the Superdome. Now, the basketball has traveled to state, you know.
Seeking the best deal from the city that would give it.
Well, seeking somebody to give it to them for free.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For free. You know, softball traveled, but they found a home in Sulphur at Frash Park. Baseball, everybody's been together for the last 4 or 5 years at McMurray in Lake Charles. But, you know, to find the sites. So it could be one site for football. Southeastern has put in a request. I think they were contacted first by the Division I schools, which would be the Catholic League in New Orleans, the three schools in Baton Rouge, Catholic, Scotlandville, and McKinley. And then you have Byrd. Well, and Byrd said we would give up our right.
Okay.
They said that a long time ago. We would give up our right to do it in a venue other than our own, a neutral venue. And so they went to Southeastern, and Southeastern saw this as an opportunity, as any college would, and said, we'd like to have everything. Well, now Alario Center's come up and said, we'd like to have basketball in New Orleans, Division I, and Division IV. So they're almost guaranteed to have New Orleans area teams participating in that.
I have been to a game contested between New Orleans schools in the tournament that Ed Daniels puts on in the Alario Center. You ain't got enough room. Yeah. You don't. I mean, you'll overflow that place.
Oh, and that's who's authoring that proposal, Ed Daniels.
And for our listeners that haven't been to the West Bank of New Orleans there, size-wise, maybe a little bit smaller than Blackham Coliseum in terms of capacity.
But they said they could add seats and they could up their attendance.
They better tear the roof down.
Yeah, you know. And so, we received a proposal from St. Julian Park in Broussard, you know, for possibly the softball and the baseball. You know, all turf fields. You know, good for the weather that time of year. And so, you know, since yesterday, I mean, I've received a phone call from the Lafayette Visitors and Convention Bureau. Let's meet. You know, we've met several times over the years. I mean, they help us host the state golf tournament here in Lafayette. They were very involved in us attempting to get the state wrestling tournament here. It's a Cajun Dome scheduling problem for this next year, but we're working for the future. Lake Charles Visitors and Convention Bureau is called. And wanted to set up a meeting this week, next week with me.
This is all since yesterday.
Since yesterday. I've had someone that I know. It was a blue coat during the era of the top 28, the Cajun Dome. He was very excited that he read that those sites are optional right now and available, and whatever he could do. And I'm sure there are other blue coats that would love to bring basketball back to the Lafayette.
So let's do a quick reset. Mike Boyer, our guest, Turling's Catholic principal, and certainly influential in what occurred yesterday, the ratification of the Louisiana Select Association. J.P. Kelly over at Catholic High has been named the CEO. I understand that in early September, an executive committee will be voted upon for this group. Is that correct? And what happens from there?
Well, actually, the executive committee has been filled.
Okay.
There was a committee that worked diligently to bring this LCA to fruition. the assistant athletic director at Catholic of Baton Rouge, Ben DePalma, is a lawyer by degree, and he did a fabulous job in drafting the constitution and bylaws that would govern this particular organization, which is still part of the LHSAA. I mean, this is not a new organization outside of the LHSA. We're still part of the LHSAA in doing that. So we've divvied up duties to do in the next. Besides, we're all trying to start school.
Yeah, that part.
I mean, it's either a principal or an AD in these positions of responsibility right now, and they're doing it at no cost. They're doing it for free. You know, they're doing it for the kids that we represent. You know, that, you know, and I don't want to get into the whole split thing. I don't agree with it. I've never agreed with it. And now we're able to make some changes that definitively affects the select schools. We can choose to do as we've been doing. We can choose to lessen the amount of divisions, put more schools in each division. You know, and there are those that would oppose that because the population disparity between the top of a division and the bottom in our select schools is tremendous. You know, you'd have a Jesuit with 2,200 kids, really it's 1,100 boys times two,
right.
Could be playing somebody that's got 400 students and co-ed. You know, so, you know, those are things to be concerned about. But this gives us the freedom to manipulate for the best competition, the best financial situation that we can have, because we've lost rounds of playoffs. You know, there, you know, if you're a number one seed in some scenarios, you won't play to the quarters or the semis. If you're a girls softball team, you automatically go to Sulphur with yes. No preliminary playoff games because there's not enough teams.
And then there's the fact, as you have mentioned, I believe, on this program before, Louis Cook has as well. We're only 2 years removed from these select schools not getting what was owed to them. And I think everybody that was going to the Dome for football, and so they made trips at a tremendous loss.
Well, and that's part of my spiel last January, that this is a positive move for everybody. We're taking 9 games out of the Superdome. The cost was $558,000 to pay the bill to the Superdome to be able to do that over 3 days. 2 years ago, you know, there's a guarantee in the handbook. Well, apparently it's just a recommendation, and it's not a guarantee. So the prime example was Hahnville sold 9,990 tickets. You're supposed to get $1 a ticket rebate, as every school was supposed to. And then they were guaranteed $14,000 as a 5A school. Okay, so that's $24,990. Yeah. They got $7,000. Now, their travel wasn't as costly as Notre Dame's was, or Catholic's was, or St. Thomas More's was, you know, because they're right there. But nobody made any money. Nobody covered their costs to go play in that championship game. So there's 9 games, 18 games. And, you know, there's something wrong with going to play for a state championship and it costing you money, yet the organization, the LHSA, is making in excess of $300,000 to $400,000.
Off of that weekend alone?
Yes, sir. Share it with the schools. I mean, share it with the schools first and then realize your profit is the way I think it should be done.
Unbelievable. We'll hit our final break in the hour. Mike, if we get you to stick around, we'll do a little more here. What's coming next, not just for the LSA, but, hey, I don't want to talk about the split either. I like the idea of reunification and if maybe this could get us there. We'll go down that road. Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back at you on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
So many interesting facets to this conversation, so we'll continue it for a few more moments. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and you're listening to 103.7 The Game. Ben Love joined by Terlings Catholic Principal Mike Boyer. Let's bring our off-air conversation back on air. It's not just about the money. It's the fact that every time I go to Lake Charles, I'm watching Lake Charles area teams that are playing at noon. I'm watching select schools that are playing at a certain time. And I know this. There are those listening that themselves went to area public schools. Their kids are going to area public schools. And they say, well, you guys are just on one side of the aisle. Is this something... I know it's designed to protect the best interest of your kids and the kids in the select schools. Is this something that you do believe ultimately could maybe bring the two sides back together, even if it takes several years?
Well, I don't really care how long it would take, you know, to get back together. But, you know, I think there's some validity to what you're saying. You know, this past year for sure, you know, in boys and girls basketball tournament, every early game, and some of them would start at 10 a.m., was a select school. Even if they were a local team, nobody got a primetime game to boost attendance. So if I'm St. Louis Catholic or Hamilton Christian, who both were in the tournaments, and they had a 12 o'clock game, I mean, am I letting school out? Am I closing school down that day? I mean, it's not a good time. And you're local. I mean, there's a lot of local interest in that. So I don't want to say it was regulated scheduling, but it seemed very odd that locals did not play in somewhat of a primetime scenario. So I've heard from some public school people, and, you know, they're kind of sitting back and looking to see how this would work out. You know, what's the advantage of not being in these mega tournaments where the host is making money and the LHSA is making money and it is costing you to go participate? And just pick your sport of those that have been split. You know, Sulphur has great facilities, but it's in the corner of the state. Everybody travels to get to Sulphur. Basketball has been in Lake Charles. Everybody travels, you know. So to put something in a more regional scenario, I got so many compliments that the meeting we had was in Lafayette. They weren't complimenting Terlings, but they were
it
saying
it could have been.
It could have been. But, you know, that it was in Lafayette and it cut down travel time, you know. And I you know, truly believe that a lot of our championships should gravitate to the Lafayette area because we've got great facilities to offer and, you know, certainly – visitors and convention bureau with the hotels and the restaurants and the food, and it cuts down on travel time, and it's all interstate active.
Speaking of that, and let's get football specific, what of the notion that Billy Napier and the Cajuns could need Cajun Field for the conference championship this year?
Well, that certainly was a thought, and we know that. We know that they and they made it last year.
That's right.
And, you know, we'd love them to make it again this year if you're a Cajun fan and to host. So, you know, that may rule the Cajun Field out, you know, but it depends on how they'd want to work with you. I mean, would we play on a Thursday and a Friday when their game's on a Saturday?
You think they'd mind that traffic for a 2-3-day run?
You know, the way I look at it, it is a free recruiting trip to have people see your facilities.
So it's possible to still install that as an option, just maybe with, what, a contingency plan?
Well, you know, yes. You know, you'd have to have a contingency plan. Now, no major university wants to be the second part of the contingency. You know, we're going to go here, but if we can't, we'll come to your place, you know. And so I don't think that's even fair. That's not even professional to do that to somebody. But part of the newly formed association and the executive council, their job over the next few weeks is to try to broker all the information we can for a site and or sites. You know, it may be the best scenario to have a one day, you know, 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock contest at a facility, and, you know, one and two play here, division one and two play here, and three and four play here.
So many things that are on the table. And to me, that's what makes this fun. You've got options. You control what you do. It doesn't take away from what the public side is doing, at least not yet. And we're about to run out of time, I know, in this hour. But good interview with the guy we both know, Ken Trahan, last week. And one of the things that Ken said is any further split, any further division, he said, I can promise you this Allstate Sugar Bowl board that I'm a member of will pull the sponsorship. Let's hope it doesn't come to that. But again, right now, this is maybe protecting a little more of your own self-interest, and that's understandable.
Well, I mean, you know, they do an awesome job, Allstate Sugar Bowl, in supporting all of the championships in all sports. And, you know, that message has been out there for years. Any further splitting, you know, then we're out of here, because philosophically, it is a difference of opinion from their board members and what they're used to. And they, you know, they try to represent everybody in what they do. So, you know, I think the public schools are looking to see what happens with this, are the non-select schools. And, you know, if we have tremendous success over the next year or 2 years, there may be a movement to go back to pre-1982 in football, where it was at a home site throughout the state, because it is such community-driven when that happens. So it was a great day yesterday. The future is very interesting to see where it takes us. And, you know, we will make something happen in December with the select schools, and it will be an outstanding venue, and it will be an outstanding championship event.
Certainly looking forward to it. And, Mike, I appreciate you coming in. This was a lot of fun. We'll do it again soon.
I never met a microphone I didn't like.
He is Mike Boyer of Turling's Catholic. All right, we're out of time in hour number one. CD, yeah, we're going to do something new. We'll give a final word as a first word of the 5 o'clock hour, and then Shay Dixon at 5:05. Our listeners, just stay right where you're at. We got you. Coming back with more of the good stuff. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crowe Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of two underway. Are you having fun yet? This is Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love joined by the famous Clint D. Just spent a half hour with Mike Boyer here inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Passion when it comes to high school football, high school sports, one way or the other. Public, private, select, non-select, everybody's passionate. I wanted to get a little more definition to the news from yesterday about the Louisiana Select Association. And so there you have it, right from the horse's mouth. A pleasure to have Mike Boyer in and to talk plenty of high school sports. Trust me, we'll have a lot more of that as we proceed through this high school football season and into some fairly uncharted waters and new territory for high school football, and where some of these select championships will be played and contested. All right, Clint, I promised it. This will sound a little weird, but your first word of the hour. It's still brought to you by my friends at the Village Station on Maurice Avenue. And the first word of this hour is home. Yeah, that's right. Home teams crowd. That's a lot of what's been discussed with exactly what's going on right now with the Louisiana Select Association. You just heard it. Doesn't exactly have to be a LHSAA sanctioned venue, which is what I had been told prior. So I'm glad to get some of that clarification. But a home teams crowd, and at least one of the two, if not both. And yeah, think of Catholic New Iberia, Notre Dame. Good night alive, would that place be packed at Cajun Field. But a home teams crowd certainly would be nice. Hey, that's your first word of the hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. And now it's time to bring you one of our best guests every single week. Shay Dixon, go247.com.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out.
It's time for Shay Dixon of Go247.
The champ is here. He's back in. Shay, welcome to the program. It's Tuesday. We missed you last week, but knowing that you were over there in Bermuda living it up, that warmed my heart at least a little bit.
I had some fun. Yeah, the champ is here. Undefeated, but uncontested. I have arrived.
And I will note that you made your Jaqueline Roy story stick. You had tweets that were timely all during the proceedings last Friday. I don't know how you did it. Frankly, I don't know what damn zip code or any of that you were in. I don't know what time zone you were in, but you were Johnny on the spot, even from Bermuda.
Yeah, well, we had to have that one well mapped out. But yeah, shout out to Roy for committing at the time he actually said he'd commit, which makes it much easier to get your stories activated and get back to vacation.
I'm going to ask you about the impact. Jaqueline Roy, 2020 defensive lineman from U-High, committed to LSU Friday. But let me bring you this and get your take. I saw the pinata, right, that like pinata football that was on the table, and I was hoping that he was going to explore grounds that I don't think have been explored yet. Shay, tell me that you didn't think he was going to bash that thing and then it was almost going to be like a gender reveal, that like the team's colors were going to fall out of the pinata football.
Well, I thought that, yes, that crossed my mind. Then I was just simply impressed because I guess to give you a visual – he had, and there's video of this all over. You can go find it wherever. Jaqueline probably tweeted it. But he's got his table set up and everything. And he has the pinata in the middle of the table. And in a very non-traditional pinata way, it's not hanging from anything.
Yes.
So I thought he was just going to do the straight punch it out. But he went for kind of the light little rip. He might have had it pre-cut in sort of a wrestling way. You know, kind of had already cut up his eye a little bit. And the bleeding had started. I think he had a little cut in the ball. He just kind of easily peeled it open and pulled out the LSU hat. But, look, we had talked for weeks about how LSU was expecting good news. If we didn't know where he was going, we certainly knew by right before the announcement, because the three things he had set up for the three teams, Bama had a little table with a balloon, and A&M had the same thing. And then there was a huge king's throne with a tiger sitting on it. So it seemed evident from that he had tipped his hand.
Plus a lot of, now fellow LSU commits were on hand. I certainly think the writing was on the wall. But even if it was expected, which obviously it was, how big is this? Because I know some services now have him having a leapfrog, I guess. Kayshon Boutte in this area is the number one player in the state. Huge get.
Yeah, and we're one of them at 24/7 Sports, and no knock on Boutte, who's also a top 50 prospect, but this is a defensive lineman, which, really elite defensive linemen are a little bit more few and far between than people probably realize. And I could go down the list of why is this important. I mean, A, it's a defensive lineman. LSU needs them badly. B, he's a top, borderline five stars from Baton Rouge. You beat out Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher as the main competition for both. You keep the number one player in Louisiana at home. You get a kid who had been committed before at LSU, recommitted after he explored all his options. And as you know, he's got a bunch of buddies in this class. They were at his announcement ceremony. Many of them already committed to LSU. That helps you not only build the class, but keep the class. So we've seen Orgeron say forever, he kind of got in hot water, not hot water last year, but he said that, We need more D-linemen that are like first-round pick types. And they've had a lot of very solid D-linemen, but they're not turning out the first-round pick types like they are at DB or at running back or wide receiver. You know, some of these other positions, I think adding Roy and really, let's be real, to this entire D-line haul gives them a huge step back in that direction.
Shay, let's move it from 2020 to 2021. Maybe a surprise for some, but it took the Tigers until this week, right, late July, to get their first 2021 commitment. So these are rising juniors in high school, and Landon Watson are the first to, I guess, pledge. What would you tell us about the young man and what he can mean to a new class for LSU football?
Yeah, we kind of knew it would be any day that they would drop a domino in the 2021 class. I mean, for 2020, they already have 22 commitments and 25 spots, and we'll see how that ultimately shakes out. The point being, it was odd, and they're not behind the times here, but you knew eventually they were going to pop a guy and the dominoes would start falling. And Landon Watson made an unofficial visit. And this is a kid who has played two really good years of football in Texas, plays at a high level in 5A. They really liked his film. He was a double-digit sack guy. into the 20 tackle for loss as a junior last year, as a sophomore last year. He'll be a junior this fall and really gives them a piece to begin building around again. I mean, it was they landed guys out of Texas like Alec Bryant and Josh White, some linebackers this cycle, but I think landing Landon Watson was a nice step in the right direction. I mean, a top 200 player, a four-star, and he's got a bunch of buddies. Like we were just talking about Jaquel and Roy. These kids, they're friends with a lot of guys. They play on some high school team. They go around on trips, seven-on-sevens. And, they like going on visits and seeing, look, you know, am I going to wind up playing with some of my buddies? And he came out and said very openly, I'm going to start recruiting X, Y, and Z, and kind of listed them off, and a bunch of guys who have LSU offers out of Texas. So this could be the beginning of, and it always is, what, you know, will wind up being three, four, five guys that LSU gets out of Texas.
Shea Dixon, go247.com, our guest. Let's finish up sticking with the 2021 class and, well, sticking with our area. Sage Ryan from LCA, the latest on the now two-time state champ for the Knights.
Man, shout out to Sage Ryan. Look, you know, and most listening who pay halfway attention to high school football in the Acadiana area, LCA is the real deal. Sage Ryan's the real deal. And we saw him go off as a sophomore last year. We have him ranked as an athlete. I think that nobody would argue that because you kind of put him anywhere and he's found success. But our new rankings came out actually earlier today, and Sage Ryan moved up yet again. Now the number 30 overall player in the country. That puts him within five-star range. It won't be a shock if one day you hear five-star Sage Ryan. And also landed an invitation to the annual All-American Bowl in San Antonio. So quite the busy day for one of Acadiana's best young prospects, but well-deserved. Like I said, he had a really good year last year, and then we've gotten to see him in multiple settings this offseason. LSU camps, the opening, he always looks the part, and I think he's a guy that probably a lot over the next, 12, and then throw in 6 more months, 20 months, we'll talk about kind of ad nauseum all the way up until we know where he's signing, and early on, people kind of feel like that'll be LSU.
Getting all the latest from Shea, and he's going to stick with us, maybe if we bend his arm a little bit, and return on the other side of this break. So don't go anywhere. More Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We're going to do things different.
Can we be just like we were?
We're going to do things different. We're going to flip the script.
It's time to flip the script with Shea Dixon on 103.7 The Game.
You know I'll flip.
Thank you, Coach. We got the right man for the job. As we come back in, more Bumper to Bumper Sports. Yeah, it's flip the script time. A Tuesday rite of passage on 103.7 The Game. And it does mean that Shea Dixon, go247.com, is right back in the mix. Shea, this is the part that you probably thought absolutely none about while on vacation, where you get to virtually host a radio show. Hopefully you're ready to do it this week.
Well, this is my favorite part, because all I do is I toss it to you and you do all the legwork. So enjoy life as a radio guest here. And actually, we're going up your alley, because we're about to go heavy for the next month on football. They're in fall camp, but we got to see Will Wade today for, I guess you would say, the first time coming out of the summer. He recapped a number of things and ahead of their trip to Spain. I think one of the biggest storylines, Ben, was probably looking at this roster compared to last year. I'm going to ask you this. In a life beyond Naz Reid, and maybe more specifically Bigby Williams, Cavell Bigby Williams, you're looking at a roster that is tallest guy on it, 6'9", and he was a senior in high school last year, Trenton Watford. Led Alabama in rebounding, set the state record. We know plenty about him, but Will Wade said that means that, I guess, with those guys gone, you're getting a shift in philosophy, right? And he said, I could put out a roster that would be an inch taller than the average of the Houston Rockets, and circled back multiple times. Auburn went to a Final Four last year. They didn't have any size on their roster, and kind of said over and over again, look, I can shift things a little bit, and you guys are worried more than me and more than you need to be about LSU not having what would be defined as a true big on the roster. So what say you in a year where we know they're talented, we know they have a hell of a backcourt, and Will Wade says, look, we're getting up and down the court more. No more of the waiting on the high ball screen at the top of the key. We are going to go, and I have the roster to do it, and you don't need to sit around and worry about when am I going to get a big man.
He's right, and for a number of reasons. The first one, I would say, is based off of his pedigree and his history. And look what he and Shaka Smart did over at VCU. I mean, other than maybe Villanova, they were as guard-driven as anybody in the country, and it was no thing for them to run kind of a four-guard lineup out there. Yeah, one of those cats might have been 6'4", 6'5", and kind of a hybrid 2/3, but still, that's in his coaching DNA, and it's in his recent background. He has won big with that. And again, Shaka Smart, now at Texas, did it first and passed it along to Will for a short amount of time, but he knows how to coach up that style of team. But I also think, to his point about Auburn, that style of team can get it done at the highest level in the modern game. I would also throw out that even in recent LSU history, I mean, the last tournament team that the Tigers had before this past season was Jordan Mickey, Jarrell Martin, and their sophomore year. I mean, Mickey was, what, 6'8.5", 6'9"? He was, I think, the tallest front court player they had, unless you want to include Jarrell Martin. I know he's 6'10-ish, but Jarrell played so much on the wing. So I guess my point would be, in an era where you can have Jarrell Martin and you can have Ben Simmons, guys that are 6'9", 6'10 plus, when they can play on the wing, you have less and less guys that are being trained to be true bigs on a block. Put your butt or your hip into somebody. Give them a little Lambeer move on the inside. You know, people aren't doing that these days, right? Even Naz Reid is another great example. 6'9 plus, but it's hard to get his ass off the perimeter. So, yes, he's absolutely right. You can win that way. If you have more three-point shooters than the other team, if you have waves of guards that can keep their guards exhausted, you can absolutely win at the highest level. So he's right because that's the way the game is being played. He's right because LSU has had success with that type of model in recent years. And he's right because he's done it over at VCU. So, yeah, there's no question. That's not something to be worried about for this year. Not in my opinion.
I will say this. He did say he's got scholarships available. He said, I will add a big to the roster before the season begins, but it doesn't look like that big is going to be in Folly Dante with Oregon trending now, so we'll see what he comes up with, obviously.
And let me add this. There's no way whoever he finds at this point is playing more than about 10 or 12 minutes a game. So
I wouldn't think so either.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's say this then. Who beyond, and Will Wade was very confident. He says, I've got five guys who, you know, in the backcourt that I feel very good about before we've even gone to Spain, before we've even started season practices, just with through the offseason and what we had last year, I know that I've got confidence in these guys. But they signed a nice class. They brought in some new kids. They've got some guys that they redshirted last year. And then they've got some guys, a combo back of the starting lineup, you know, Marlon Taylor types, and guys that played off the bench. Give me one guy or two or three, whatever you want, not named Skylar Javonte, that you are eager to see what they can bring to the table this year, because whether it's new to the team or increased minutes, this guy or two is going to be a difference maker.
Only one guy, Darius Days. And here's the thing. In college basketball, while it's important to have that just, I mean, supernova type of star that comes to your program for 1 year, you know, the one and done that's a guaranteed lottery pick, while it's imperative to have those guys as often as you can get them, more important than them, and I'm being serious, is your 3 or 4 year program player and one that plays for you all 3 or 4 years and progressively gets better each year. And by the time he's gone, you say, wow, that cat's an all-SEC player or darn near that level. I think we're in the process of watching Skylar Mays do exactly that, a rung or two below him on the ladder, but surely climbing, in my opinion, is Darius Days. And that's part of the other reason that Wade, you know, kind of going back to your earlier question, that's part of the reason LSU can win without true bigs is because Darius Days, Emmett Williams, they play a little bigger than their height may suggest because they got some oomph to them, right? They got some physicality, some toughness, some hops. Darius Days has filled out nicely since leaving IMG Academy in Florida. I think he's primed to continue making the climb this year. Again, is he going to be one of their top 2-3 players? Almost certainly not. Can he be one of the three or four most important players if you take stats out and you look at impact on the game because of everything he does, the efficiency of his play? Absolutely. So I am a big-time Darius Days fan, and you're going to look up in a year or two and say, wow, suddenly he actually might be their best player.
I like the pick. I'll also say he had a lot of praise for Emmett Williams, said he's up to above 230 pounds. It's really, he expects a big difference in him as a three-point shooter, so we'll see what the season holds for him. This is where Wade wrapped it up, so I'll give it to you to kind of take us home here. He went over and saw a brand-new nutrition center that his, you know, obviously basketball team's going to get to use this year, and that's all good and great, but it was part of a football operations building and renovations that are now complete. And your man, Will Wade's been beating the drum since he got here that, look, for lack of a better term, y'all's facilities kind of suck in basketball. And obviously they've got a brand spanking new basketball facility where the men and women practice and have meeting rooms, but the coaches' offices are still not in that building. They're still having to go across the street to work out at football. And Will Wade says, look, between upgrades to the PMAC and some other stuff, we're not there yet. And obviously he had a rough year last year, so he kind of lost some of his bargaining chips. But he seems to think, and I'll get where you at on this, that, look, we're trying to raise the money now. Scott Woodward is behind me, and he feels it's moving in the right direction, that LSU is going to be taking more steps forward to both realizing that they've got a thriving basketball program and turning it into one that can compete, you know, at the same level as these other ones, the Blue Bloods.
So let me get this straight. In the aftermath of LSU football unleashing its $28 million locker room, the professors want new libraries and vacuums, and the basketball team wants a new arena. Just checking. If we could back up the Wambulance for everybody else on campus, maybe that would be good too. In all seriousness, he's right, but I'm not sure he's in the right position to make this argument publicly. I don't know that he has the clout. He certainly doesn't have the years behind him at LSU and in general. I mean, Shay, this guy's basically our age. I don't think he quite has some of the cachet needed to make this type of public claim toward it. But he is right, and I have heard for years that they are planning to renovate the PMAC, that it might actually hold slightly less in terms of seating, but it's going to be a little more luxurious, that they want to do some different things with the dimensions, with the kind of outlying areas, if you will, of the PMAC. So, yes, it needs to be improved. And, yeah, that's not all that needs to be improved. I've heard since Wade got here, he hasn't been thrilled with basically the lack of kind of a coach's war room, a place where they can not just game plan, but do a lot of their recruiting work. And they're working with some antiquated resources there. So I agree with them. And maybe there were recruiting promises made to Wade by Oliva and LSU's administration when they got him to come over, and he's just voicing some frustration with that. So, yeah, I think the guy's right, but like I told you, after everything that happened last year, and I still don't think they're completely out of the woods, I don't know when that guillotine might drop. I'm just going to leave that hanging where it is, though. But with everything kind of politically that maybe he lost some clout on, and you consider the fact that this is year three for him, I mean, I just don't know that he's earned the right to play that game through the media. That's my personal opinion. But it doesn't cloud the fact that, yeah, he's probably right. And if it were fill in the blank that came to town, right? If it were, it wouldn't be Mike Krzyzewski, but if it were somebody elite, if it were Jay Wright from Villanova that suddenly came to Baton Rouge, they'd get every freaking thing they wanted because they would deserve it, and they're right. Right now, I think Wade's just right. I don't know if he's quite deserved that yet.
You know, it's we almost make it sound like Will Wade's holding his coach's meetings like in his garage, wherever he's living with some folding chairs and a projector or something.
Yeah, it's probably something not too far from that. Shay, we got to hit a break, but your questions this week, superlative. Look forward to doing it again next Tuesday.
Yeah, all right. We'll be football heavy, my friend.
Yeah, it'll be camp time next Tuesday, baby. We got to hit a quick break. Be right back to throw some shade. You're dialed in to Bumper Sports. And as always, we're coming at you on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
J. Jim Rome is on CBS Sports Radio.
The NFL announced that Tyreek Hill would not be suspended following an investigation that started after law enforcement authorities went to his house twice in March to investigate child abuse and neglect. It makes the player discipline policy seem arbitrary, and the entire point of having a policy is so that it's not arbitrary. In this case, it's only inconsistent and confusing.
The Jim Rome Show, weekdays 11 a.m. to 2 on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game.
The free 103.7 The Game mobile app helps you take Acadiana Sports Station with you on the go. If you haven't, make sure you download it. Go to your app store. Type in KLWB 103.7 The Game. And then you can listen to live and local shows, on-demand interviews, and specialty podcasts. Even get involved with our rewards club, your chance to enter to win trips to see the Houston Astros, free goodies, restaurant, meals, all around Acadiana. And yes, this mobile app, it's not only free, it is proudly presented by Visit Avery Island.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Just about an hour's worth of interviews, right? Since last you and I had a chance to potentially speak, we'll open it back up to you. But first, as we report back in, Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Tip of the cap, Mike Boyer, 4:30 to 5 o'clock, talking the Louisiana Select Association. Constant reminder that it's under the umbrella of the LHSAA, and a little bit of clarity about what could come in the future for some of these select schools and their championships. Will it be highest seed determines? Will it be a unified location across the sporting landscape? Football, basketball, boys and girls, baseball and softball. All in Hammond, for example? All in Lafayette? Could it be maybe split up by sport? A lot of great conversation there. So Mike Boyer was with us 4:30 to 5. And for basically the last half hour, Shea Dixon rocking our airwaves. Our thanks to both of them. You want to get a word in? We got some time now. And before we throw you to the Astros at the Indians at 6 o'clock, call us. Let us know what's on your mind. 706-0111. While we wait and while I have a moment, and let's do something that we love to do every day. Remind you that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. You can also trust their management top down, starting with Mark, to help you create a vision and then fulfill it. They could even do it before the Super Bowl. Maybe even before the year 2020, but only if you hurry to the website and get started. PatioCenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at PatioCenter.com.
A twofer today, and we shall be quick with it. Jerry Jones speaking on local radio in Dallas, and this is early this morning. Adam Schefter tweets this out at 5:58 a.m. No rest for Schefty. I'll give you the exact quote here. You don't have to have a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl. Quote, end quote. As Zeke Watch 2019 continues, All-Pro running back Ezekiel Elliott holed up in Cabo, not reporting to the team's training camp. And so that is the reaction from Jerry Jones. He is taking his toys and going back to the ranch. And this is peak shade, by the way, from Jera, because he doesn't say the person's name that he's obviously referencing, and he just kind of crushes him subliminally. But Jerry, allow me to throw some at you. Because my reaction to that statement is my shade. It's the punch that I pack. How do I react to that? You don't need a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl. I would react by saying you might with your quarterback. Dak Prescott ain't getting you to the promised land on his own. That offensive line isn't what it was a couple of years back. And while your defense is pretty good, yeah, they got the best of the Saints toward the middle portion of last year on a primetime game. It's a pretty darn good defense. It's not a great defense. And so, yes, Jera, you might need Zeke Elliott. Dak ain't getting you there alone. Not saying you have to bend down and kiss his you-know-what, but I would say you don't have to break his you-know-what in public either. Let's get to one more. From the NFL to the NBA, if you haven't seen it, it's weird that in our modern era, this causes the type of conversation it has. LeBron James is at his son Bron's AAU basketball game, and Bron throws down a pretty vicious alley-oop. And so with young Bronny crushing the 10 at an AAU game, LeBron James, the Kang, is sitting not quite courtside. He's sitting behind the in-line, and yet he celebrates so hard that it kind of looks like an and-one mixtape, to be honest with you. His shoe comes flying off. He goes to get his shoe. After somebody helps him locate his shoe, he does like a little jump kick, and then there's a timeout on the floor. And so LeBron and Bronny get a nice little jump into each other, shoulder barge celebration. And yet there are some that are absolutely attacking LeBron and his credibility. And how could you do this? Ruin the decorum of a game. Yeah, that's laughable and shade-worthy in itself. The decorum of an AAU game. And people are getting after LeBron on this. And Jason Whitlock, Fox Sports 1, was one of them. He went off on Bron a little bit this morning. Kyle Kuzma, remember the guy that the Pelicans wanted in the trade for AD? They didn't get him, so Kuzma's still with the Los Angeles Lakers. Tweeted out simply, "It be your own people." The response from Jason Whitlock, he built a new rope above the top rope, and then he jumped off of that one. Here's the response to Kyle Kuzma. "Hey, Cap Light, do you talk this way at home to Kendall Jenner? Or do you pick and choose when you ride for your people? Is the Malcolm X Act just for retweets, likes, and a head pat from Bron Bron? Hashtag sit your ass down too. Hashtag you ain't ready." Wow, that is some hot heat. Calls him out for the Malcolm X quote. Tells him it's just for the tweets and retweets. And then calls him Cap Light. It be your own people. Unbelievable what goes on with the Twitter fingers, the Twitter muscles. LeBron celebrates his kid, gets a little carried away doing it, and suddenly, well, he's just a bad guy. Sometimes, not a lot, but sometimes I feel bad for LBJ. You just can't win.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
You've been giggling at me for the better part of the last 90 seconds. I take it you've seen the video, Clint?
Yes, I have, and my goodness, it's just something that's just been taking over the world when you just think about what's going on with LeBron James and him just the not only that, but it was also kind of before the game, he was in the layup line and throwing down just one-handed tomahawk dunks. So.
I'm sure that's such a terrible experience for the rest of the kids on the court. The ones playing with Bronny and the ones on the other side. I'm sure that's just an awful experience for them.
It's horrible. They're sitting there like, why is he doing this?
Somebody get this Beckham guy off of the field at the high school 7-on-7 game that's making one-handed catches with the kids. The humanity.
Yes.
I mean, get the hell out of here with that. It absolutely blows my mind. And so somebody from Barstool just continues to make a fool of themselves, and this thing has gone viral and it's everywhere. And for what it's worth, I mean, you've got the who's who of the NBA that's chiming in on this. Kendrick Perkins, who last week was featured on this segment, taking Steve Kerr to task. Kendrick Perkins went in on this guy. Everybody's saying everyone always wants these professional athletes to show up for their kids, right? To show that they could be a good dad, to show some enthusiasm. And Perk says, what do you want him to do? Roll in with the Secret Service, cross his leg, give a single solo slow clap or two during the game, so you just can't win there. And Zeke Elliott doing his best to pull a little bit of a Le'Veon Bell from last year, and his owner says you don't need an all-pro to win a Super Bowl. I'll just continue to repeat myself. Dak Prescott not doing it all by his lonesome. I don't see that as being a possibility. I know we got Halftime aboard. We'll go find him aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline. Halftime, we got to be quick, but what you got?
I'm just going to say, need to leave LeBron James alone. I'm not a big fan, but name me one bad scandal besides all this bull that people coming up with. Name one real serious scandal that LeBron did. You can't think of nothing. And I'm not a LeBron fan. I think you need to leave the guy alone.
I'm right there with you.
The players.
I love that take because I agree with it. Never been in a lot of trouble. I mean, he's been with the same woman. He's married to her. Starting schools for kids. Not my favorite player. But you'd have a hard time telling me that he's not a good man from everything we know. All right, I got to hit a break. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Thanks for the shout-out, Halftime. We will return on 103.7 The Game.
Raymond Parts III here, host of RP3 & Company, reminding you to tune in Wednesday from 6 to 9.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back in, and we're ready to close out like we started this bad boy with more of the good stuff. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Yes, the Astros are coming post-haste. In fact, we'll deliver you to Steve Sparks and Robert Ford over in Cleveland. Straight up 6 o'clock will be Astro launch and right into the ballgame. First pitch at 6:10 Central Time. Stros at the Indians. Verlander versus Bieber. How about a combined 23 wins going into this game for those two fine pitchers, both all-stars for the American League. Bieber, of course, one of the primary reasons the American League was able to take home this year's All-Star Game. And another plug, another reminder, Steve Sparks will join us tomorrow straight up 5 o'clock. Loving it. Right from Cleveland. Seriously, the man's going to go down, do what he's got to when it comes to his pregame interviews with A.J. Hinch, and then he is coming right onto the air with us from Progressive Field. So make sure you've got that one in your calendar. Logged into your phone, your Apple Watch, whatever the hell you got. Steve Sparks live on B2BS tomorrow at 5. We're closing this thing out with some of the best we had yesterday from our buddy Deli, Ross Dellinger, SportsIllustratedSI.com. This guy has been everywhere this summer. SEC Media Days, Pac-12 Media Days in La La Land. He's been out to Clemson to see the defending champs. He lives in Washington, D.C., like I said, everywhere. And that gives him pretty darn good perspective. Here's what Dellinger had to say about Ogeron, where he is, and maybe some of the things he's doing differently than Miles that are defining his era and ultimately the success he's starting to have.
Well, first of all, from a recruiting standpoint, and Les was big, obviously, in recruiting. And I remember Les and I having conversations when he was at LSU about Nick Saban in Alabama and how serious they are in Tuscaloosa about recruiting, and he wanted to be equally as serious. So I think Les was serious about recruiting, but I think that that Ed just takes it to probably even another level when it comes to recruiting, and he's been able to leverage some things that Les couldn't with his bosses, like recruiting staff members, and analysts, of course, even though those aren't part of recruiting, but he's been able to get more analysts. He's got twice as many analysts as Les had. I think he's got 10 to 12 or so. Les had 5, I think, in last year. And then the recruiting staff, I think, has grown as well. So that's recruiting. The biggest, though, difference, obviously, is the offense. Les just was so hesitant to make the leap into the spread, he always wanted that fullback. He always wanted those tight ends, and we've seen, Ed not make a quick leap, but it's been evolving, and we never saw that necessarily from Les, and maybe it's because of the quarterbacks he had during that time late in his career. I certainly understand that. But obviously something needed to change, and he didn't change it. And And, you know, he ran toss dive on literally the first play of 2016 when he said all offseason that he was changing, and he ran toss dive. And so it was just like a middle finger up to Joe Oliva, you know. So they're, you know, those are probably, I mean, the offense is the biggest one. And they, you know, when I say about leveraging things for new staff members, you know, the growing budget where he's got more analysts and recruiting, he's got a better relationship or had a better relationship with his boss, you know, Joe Oliva, you know, less. And Joe certainly didn't have a good relationship. Obviously, everybody knows that. And Ed and Joe did. That's why the new, you know, the hiring of Scott Woodward is going to be interesting to see how that works. Although Ed and Scott, you know, from Louisiana, they're the Louisiana guy. I think they have a lot in common, a lot of mutual friends. So we'll see how that goes.
Let's keep that train rolling as we give you the best from Delhi yesterday on Monday, running it back Q&A replay style on a Tuesday. Similarities between Ogeron and Dabo Swinney. I mentioned Ross spent some time in Clemson earlier this month. Other than the whole interim thing, are they similar? Are they different? I'll let him tell you.
Well, I mean, outside of the interim deal, I don't know how much I see the similarities between the two men. You know, I mean, Dabo is an offensive guy, and they went full throttle for Ed. We haven't seen Ed, and I don't know if we'll ever see Ed and then do that. You know, the recruiting is maybe a little similar in how they recruit and how aggressive that they are and how much they love it. I think Dabo does like it and is very aggressive with it and stuff. Spends a lot of time with it. Outside of those things, I don't know if I see exact correlation, but certainly when you look at interim coaches who get jobs, those two in the last, decade or so, they've been some of the most successful we've seen. You know, I mean, Ed's won 19 games, and Dabo's done, well, we all know kind of what Dabo's done. So, I mean, Dabo set the standard for interim coaches. And I think Ed is on his way, you know, to maybe reaching, or I don't know if anybody's ever going to be able to reach the mark that Dabo has set as interim coach. But Ed is certainly on his way there and has proven that, just like Dabo kind of set the mark there, you know, it can work.
All right, we'll get one more from our man Ross Dellinger. The best from yesterday's sound, our guy from SportsIllustratedSI.com. And this is something everyone's been following, right? Beer sales, the SEC, Tiger Stadium. This eventually had to happen, right? Well, it's now a reality. LSU certainly wanted to be one of the first into the fray here. And so here's Ross Dellinger, who, yeah, he's been called the beer guy, the beer man, by SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. His reaction on Tiger Stadium, quickly sprinting toward the front of the line. Yep, we want to sell it.
Yeah, I saw that. That's smart for them to kind of do that survey. I figured they would do something like that. And they've done that stuff before with stuff in the stadium, with new food, new concession stuff. So that's interesting. But yeah, I expected them to do that. When you're providing stuff to fans, you want to make sure, you know, you want to know what they want, or at least an idea of what most of them want. You know, so why not send a little survey to your season ticket holders and get an idea, you know, of what they want to pay, what kind of stuff they want to drink. That was interesting. And, I think it's only LSU and A&M, I believe, are only the two schools who have actually come out publicly, I believe, and said they'll have alcohol. So, I'd expect maybe one or two more, but it's going to be a slow process of everybody kind of doing the trial balloon, which LSU and people like A&M have done previously. They've already did the trial balloon with the whole, you know, little premium areas, you know, premium seat areas that they've kind of created. So, you know, I think it's we're going to see it slowly kind of get to where, you know, probably most of the league will have it. It's just going to take some time.
Gotta love it. Again, it's our man who used to live here in South Louisiana, for my money, the best beat writer I've ever seen and witnessed cover LSU football. And now he's out doing his thing nationally over in the nation's capital. All right, we are out of time. We got Astros at the Indians coming up. I do want to thank YP, you people out there in listener land. Thanks for making it a great Tuesday. Appreciate you listening, your calls, your social media interaction. Also, our best to Mike Boyer, Turnlink's Catholic president. He ran down everything that we learned yesterday and will happen next with the new LSA. Thanks to Mike for coming aboard in the 4 o'clock hour. And then Shea Dixon, go247.com. He always gives us his best Tuesdays at straight up 5 o'clock. All right, we're all out of real estate. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love, and you've been listening to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Astros at the Indians next. It's Verlander versus Bieber.